Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 74, BMW Transmissions Through the Years. In this one, it's going to be a general smattering, so to speak, of all the transmissions that BMW has used in their cars, regardless of actual brand manufacturer, whether it be ZF, GM. Those are really the Getrag or Getrag. I've heard both of those. that one pronounced both ways. But I'm going to start off with manual transmissions, talk briefly about them. Talk about the SMG transmission, and then we'll go into automatic transmission, regular automatic transmissions, and then also talk about briefly about the electronically controlled ones, talk about what was called or what is called Steptronic, and then finally finish up with DCT, dual clutch transmissions. So, you know, my idea on this one is just to kind of give you a good overall, knowledge of transmissions as far as BMW has used. I'm not going to get into any real, technical stuff, and we'll go from there. So, manual transmissions. Well, they're pretty basic, starting from the very beginning on up until BMW is almost completely stopped putting true manual transmissions in cars at this point. This is year 2020 as far as when this podcast is being made. So I think there's really only a couple of the M models, the motorsport models, that you can still buy a manual transmission, but they've essentially have gotten rid of them. But in any case, manual transmission, there's basically a 4, 5, or 6 speed available depending upon the year model of the car. Okay. The clutch is hydraulically actuated, which means that when you're pushing on the clutch pedal, you're basically operating like a little tiny master cylinder. It's under the same kind of theory and operation that the brakes work. So you have a brake master cylinder in the clutch system. You have a clutch master cylinder, and it's typically mounted inside the car, right in the clutch pedal area there. Sometimes the end of it will be sticking out through the firewall into the outside of the car, into the engine compartment area. But so you basically have a clutch master cylinder. There's some hoses or pipes. It usually shares the reservoir, the brake fluid reservoir, or the fluid reservoir with the brake fluid. So it does use brake fluid as its hydraulic fluid, but it is a separate system from the brake. And there's a hose and stuff, and it goes down to what's called a clutch slave cylinder, which mounts on the side of the transmission, actually on the side of the bell housing, which is typically part of the transmission. And so you're essentially taking a movement of your foot on the clutch pedal and transmitting that through fluid pressure to where now the clutch slave cylinder pushes onto the throwout bearing. And the throw-out bearing pushes onto the clutch pressure plate, and that's how your clutch is actuated, okay? Originally, BMW, up until about the, I would say mid-90s, they used just a regular, what's called a single-mass flywheel, okay? But somewhere around the mid-90s, they went to what's called a dual-mass flywheel. And the idea being a single mass flywheel is just that. It's all one single big piece of metal. It has the ring gear attached to it, which is what the starter actuates onto to turn the engine over, okay, or meshes with, I should say. The pinion gear on the starter meshes with the ring gear on the flywheel. And since the flywheel is connected to the crankshaft, that's what turns the engine over for you to be able to start the car. So it was all one big round piece of metal. Okay. What was happening because, BMW engines, especially back then, they don't exactly idle like a sewing machine. I mean, they do have a little bit of roughness to them. It is a high performance engine. And so what was happening, and sometimes people, I remember being at the dealership and people actually complained about this, where if the engine was idling, the car was in neutral. Okay. Again, this is a manual transmission car. And the clutch was out. You had your foot off the clutch. You hear this kind of like a little bit of a rattling noise. Some cars were worse than others, okay? And what was happening is that even though the car, the transmission was not in gear, when you have it in neutral, the input shaft of the transmission, because it is connected to the clutch and you have the clutch pedal out, the input shaft is turning. So there is a few gears inside the transmission that are actually rotating or moving. And so what would happen is, because again, the engine doesn't idle exactly super smooth, you'd hear this kind of like a clack, 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 you know, it would have this sort of a rattle, okay? Some people didn't notice it, other people it became, you know, a big bother to them. BMW years ago had us used to change to a different type or weight of gear oil to try to, you know, reduce the gear rattle. It would change based on outside temperature. The hotter it got, summertime it was worse. Wintertime it typically wasn't as bad. So what they did was to go to what's called a dual mass flywheel, and that in essence is just like it says. There's actually two separate parts to the flywheel. One part is bolted to the crankshaft, and then there's this spring dampening mechanism that the outer part of it, the part that the clutch is bolted to, is literally a separate piece, but they are connected mechanically by this spring dampening type of mechanism. Okay. So what it did do was, yes, it pretty much eliminated this rattle, okay, because what happened is the engine was still running the same, but this dual mass flywheel would absorb that little bit of movement or you know, rattle, so to speak, from the engine, and so it wouldn't go into the transmission, and hence you wouldn't hear this rattling noise. The issue with it, though, was that because it was literally no longer a pure solid connection, and because the clutch disc did not have any dampening springs in it, they had to put in what was called a clutch delay valve. Now, this was in the hydraulic part of the clutch actuation system, okay? So when, like, the E39.5 series came out and when the E46.3 series came out, because this clutch delay valve, it would, some people never really got used to how to operate the clutch, because you'd push on the clutch and it, in a normal, you know, event, the pressure plate would be, you know, the throw-out bearing would move because the clutch slave cylinder moved and was operating it, and the clutch would respond and, you know, you did your thing and off we went. And this was especially at, you know, starting from a standing start type thing. The clutch delay valve did exactly that. It delayed that operation to where, you know, you were letting the clutch out with your foot and you were expecting it to respond a certain way within a certain period of time, and it was later than that, okay? So, again, some people got used to it. Other people, especially someone who maybe was new to driving that particular car, they may very well have known how to drive manual transmission cars, but they'd hop into a BMW with a dual mass flywheel and a clutch delay valve, and it's like, what is wrong with this car? So the fix out there, way back when, was to remove the clutch delay valve and just run it directly, okay? The only downside to that is that if you were really driving that car hard or shifting really hard, you could start to cause problems either in the clutch assembly or the transmission or possibly the driveline. Because what was happening is that you were now, instead of having a delay where it would just slowly, and we're talking about, you know, very quick. And when I say slowly, I don't mean seconds. But that delay was no longer there. So the clutch was actuating more, you know, in line with what you were doing with your foot on the clutch pedal, but it also, if you were driving the car really hard, you were now applying more load to the system that it wasn't necessarily designed for. So you could start having other problems. Most people didn't really have that problem, okay? I mean, I've taken my delay valve out of my car. I've got a 2002 530i E39 5-speed transmission. So I took mine out years ago, shortly after I bought the car, okay? So it's not that big of a deal, but again, that's just to kind of let you know. Maybe if you've had an older BMW, you remember what I'm talking about. And if not, that's just, again, that's something that BMW went through. From that one, when the M3 came out, the E46, and there's several other cars that has it, there's what's called an SMG transmission. Now, what this is basically it is a manual transmission that it still has a clutch and it is a manual transmission, but it's electro-hydraulically operated, which means that there is no clutch pedal. Okay, you can either shift it with the gear shifter itself on the center console, or you have what's called paddle shifters on the steering wheel. But it is a true manual transmission that is, again, electro-hydraulically actuated. So you're basically, it's a computer, there's a pump system, there's a hydraulic system, it does have a clutch actuation system, and then, of course, it has a hydraulic actuation system that actually physically shifts the gears. So the idea being this was sort of like Formula One type race bred design. That's where it started. Okay, so this was BMW's way of trying to offer an electronically shifted manual transmission car. So the upsides are, yeah, it's pretty neat. You don't have to push the clutch in because you don't have one. Even though there's not a clutch pedal, but the transmission still has a clutch. So there's all the same things that can wear out from a normal manual transmission. But this transmission, SMG, is a lot more complicated. There's a lot more going on. It's very, very complex. And so it can get pretty pricey as far as repairs go. Part of the neat thing about it, though, is that you can certainly, there's different modes because it is electronically controlled. There's different shift modes and driving modes you can use. You can change how quickly or how slowly it shifts and how abruptly the clutch is actuated. So, in a normal driving, you'd want to have it kind of just normal, smooth daily driver type. Program setup on the mode switch. But let's say you're having fun, it's a Saturday, whatever, and you're kind of going through the canyon, whatever the case may be, you can click it up to where it will shift faster and harder, okay? And again, this is more for performance type of a situation, okay? So that's kind of some of the neat things about it, is that you can vary its mode of operation because it is electronically controlled. But just understand, it is a very complex type system, and they can get, the hydraulic pump can go bad, and I mean, you're talking about $1,500, $2,000 and just for that one item. So I hope you enjoy the fact that if you have a car that has that, why you're having fun with it and making use of it. So so that's basically the automatic transmission situation. Automatic transmissions. Well, again, if we go way back when, I mean, we go all the way from a 3-speed, 4-speed, 5, 6, all the way up to an 8-speed transmissions, okay? They were originally mechanically controlled, okay? There was basically, and this would be true of any transmissions, we're talking about back into about the, well, on BMW would be the early 80s. Around about 83 or 84, depending upon the car, they started going to more electronic controls on the automatic transmissions. Okay. Prior to that, they were mechanically controlled, where there was typically a governor inside the transmission, and then you also had either a throttle, basically you had a throttle valve cable. So when you put it in drive, it would, because it saw that there was no vehicle speed, and the engine speed was relatively low, it would start off in first gear. And, of course, as you drove the car, and depending upon how abruptly or how softly you applied the throttle pedal, it would upshift, obviously, to, again, all the way up to 3-speed, 4-speed, so on and so forth. Okay. So there was there was a throttle cable, or some transmissions used what's called a vacuum modulator. Both the same thing. They're looking at engine load. Okay, that's what it's trying to decipher, is engine load. Okay, around about the model year of 85 or 86, BMW started putting electronic controls on the transmissions. This started off originally with the 4-speed, and this would have been in like the 535i, the E28 535i. Certainly by the time the E32 came out, the 7 Series in 1988, those cars definitely had them. And initially when they came out, there was a mode switch or a program switch would be another name for it, where you could either leave it in E mode or economy mode. It was sometimes called A for automatic. There was also a sport mode, and there was also what was called M mode or manual, okay? So, again, depending upon, I mean, normally you just leave it in E or A for just normal driving, but let's say you wanted to have some fun with the car, maybe you're on a canyon or something, you could put it into sport mode. And he basically, what it did is it would, if memory serves me, it would not shift into the highest gear. It also would not allow for torque converter lockup, okay? And the other thing is, the main thing is that it would move the shift points that the transmission would normally shift at. So what would happen, generally speaking, is that the shift points would be at a higher RPM, and also they'd be more abrupt. In other words, they'd be harder, okay? And so again, this is something you could move, you know, you could move this program switch on the fly. You didn't have to pull over and stop the car or anything like that. You could just do it right on the fly. And so it kind of gave you a different transmission the way that it worked. M mode was just that. When you put it into M, you had to manually move the shifter yourself. Okay. So, you could leave it in a particular gear. You could move it back and forth from second or third or fourth, and you know, upshift, downshift, whatever the case may be. But this was kind of early on before we had the Steptronic situation, which I'll talk about that in a moment. So this was sort of, like I say, early on. It was pretty good transmission. You know, as far as that series, you know, we had some, I can remember replacing some under warranty, but really not that many. And, you know, this was before the factory fill, lifetime fill type thing. So yes, the transmission still needed to be serviced. Actually, I think it was in 1988. No, actually that's not right. It was later than that before they went to a full lifetime fill synthetic fluid. The main thing on the inputs, the electronic controls part of it, it was looking at a lot of different inputs. It was looking at engine speed, fuel injection, opening time or open time, engine and transmission temperatures, road speed, gear selected, movement of the throttle pedal, movement of the steering wheel, and whether the brakes were applied or not. Okay. It would change, you know, based on all these parameters, and there may be even a few that I've forgotten to mention, but, you know, it was looking at how you're driving the car, what program it's in, and, you know, what is it you're asking of the car, and it would change these shift points in the way that it operated accordingly. So, when you had it in E mode, because it was now for economy, it would basically, the shift points would be at lower RPMs. Okay, especially if you didn't apply very much throttle, the torque converter lockup would come into play typically in third and or fourth gear. And again, obviously, as we went to higher, more available gears, same thing. I mean, we're up to like an 8-speed transmission now. Okay, so it would change the shift points. You're looking, basically, it was designed to be looking for better fuel mileage and softer shift points. Okay. Then we move into what we have today, and this started, I don't know if it was mid-90s or so. I think later than that, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, if memory serves me. The BMW started using what's called Steptronic, okay? And this is where the gear shifter assembly itself is actually different, in that when you pull it down to drive, you can actually move it to the left. And when you do that, you are putting it into Steptronic mode, okay? And this allows you, without changing anything at all, this allows you to manually move the shifter either forward or backward, and it's spring-loaded. So it will, let's say you're going to upshift, you move it forward, it will upshift one gear. And it'll show this in the display in the instrument cluster, what gear you're in. It'll show M for manual, and then whatever gear you've selected, okay? And or you can downshift by pulling it back. And again, you can literally, it's spring-loaded, okay? And that's why when you move the shifter to the left, you are putting it in Steptronic mode. Now, you can also, if you want to put it in Steptronic mode, not all those cars, but some of those cars also have paddle shifters on the steering wheel, okay? This is for definitely more of performance-type driving. The idea being is that you're driving really hard. You want to have both hands on the steering wheel, so they don't want you excuse me, they don't want you taking one hand off the steering wheel to shift the car, considering it's an automatic transmission. So the paddle shifter thing on the steering wheel is kind of neat from that standpoint. It allows you to obviously keep both hands on the steering wheel and shift the car, whether it be upshift, downshift, whatever the case may be. The downside to it is, yeah, again, you are building some more complexity into the car. I would say on the shifter itself, the Steptronic shifter, the more that you use that as far as to actually shift the transmission, that shifter can wear out. And unfortunately, there's no individual parts really available for it. So I have had cars come in that had either shifter issues. I've had them where they won't go into the right gear, or the customer, you know, their Steptronic part of it will not work properly anymore. And maybe they're used to using it. And so we're talking about replacing the entire shifter assembly, which again can be like, oh, if memory serves me, it's like $600, $700, $800, $900. It depends on the car. Some are easier to replace than others, but it is not an inexpensive part. And like I say, as far as BMW is concerned, there's no individual parts for that. Okay. So, you know, again, you build in complexity, there's always the possibility of, you know, having to spend money on something that is more expensive than it maybe was in the past with a simpler design. So, and the last thing is what's called a DCT, dual clutch transmission. This is kind of the latest thing. It is a automatic transmission. However, well, I say that it's, it is a dual clutch transmission. There is two clutches. The idea being is that one clutch operates, is there for all the even gears, and the other clutch is there for all of the odd gears, okay? It is a pretty interesting setup in that the idea being is that as you're, when the car senses that it's going to be shifting, it can start to release, the clutch starts to engage, and it can start to release tension on one gear as it's shifting out of that gear, and at the same time it's shifting into the next gear. Okay, this is whether it's upshifting or downshifting. Okay, and again, you can operate this in manual mode, certainly. Okay, so it is kind of neat from a performance standpoint, because let's say you're driving along and you're really driving hard and you're doing a lot of cornering and you want to be upshifting, downshifting, so on and so forth. With a regular manual transmission car, I mean, technically, especially if you're really zinging that engine, really pushing it, when you go to downshift, let's say you're coming into a corner, you normally would push the clutch in and then very quickly blip the throttle to bring the engine RPM up, because you're going to be downshifting into a lower gear. And so if you don't blip the throttle, you're not matching the RPM. And when you dump that clutch out, depending upon how far off you are, it can definitely change the balance of the car, okay? And it, you know, it can make the revs come up quite a bit on the engine. A DCT transmission, when you put it in the proper mode and it realizes what it is you're doing, I mean, not only is it shifting the car and operating the clutch, it also has the capability of blipping the throttle for you, okay? So from a performance and acceleration and, you know, driving type situation, as complex as a DCT transmission is, there's a lot of neat things that are going on there as far as its capability, okay? So I haven't had a chance to really drive a car that much that has it as far as on a canyon road or anything like that. It just hasn't happened yet for me. And I can't say that I've had to do any kind of, you know, repairs to them. But given enough time, that will happen. But again, most complex transmission and clutch system is the DCT. Okay, it is a highly complex system. Yes, it's computer controlled, obviously, but it is kind of really neat that it has the capability of disengaging one gear as it's in the process of engaging the next gear. Again, whether that's up or down, as far as, you know, upshifting or downshifting. So that's pretty much it. You know, I like I say, I kind of wanted to give a brief smattering of the different transmissions. I'm sure some people would, I mean, there's dozens actually of different transmissions. You know, I'm not going to get into, well, this one has the 4HP EH and this one has the, I mean, it just, it can get nuts out there. There are generally three different manufacturers that BMW has used over the years, either ZF. Some of the cars way back when did actually have a GM, a General Motors style transmission. That particular one was made in France, GM of France. And, you know, not inherently a bad transmission, just that's where they got it from, was from GM. And then, again, also the a lot of the manual transmissions were Getrag or Getrag, whichever. So that's the story on that. Hopefully you've it's been enlightening for you. And, again, I wasn't trying to get into, you know, any specific transmission, just wanted to give you kind of an overview. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned a few things. I appreciate you listening. And again, as usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, you can reach me at bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. And again, I've, you know, got a repair shop that's called Brad's Motorworks. It's in Newbury Park, California. I do have certainly a couple different web pages if you want to check that out. And I also am on LinkedIn. So if you want to get a hold of me, there's certainly a number of ways to do that for any reason. And I appreciate if you don't leave a review on however you got this particular podcast and leave a review on the publisher site that you got it from. I appreciate that. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. And thank you again for listening. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.